Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I want to hear from you through text. We'll get to next segment. Worst jobs to have in a day like today. When we've surged, as Adam pointed out, to zero. That's our temperature right now, zero.
We have no degree.
Winds will pick up later. 40 below wind chills tonight. Oh, goody. So tell me jobs, the worst jobs to have on a day like this. Maybe you have one. Maybe you had one. You observe it. You think of that job, what is just a job you want no part of on a day like today here in Minnesota? 651-461-9226. Let's talk Joe Biden and a little D.C. politics for this segment. He has a lengthy press conference, Adam Carter, saying, you folks think I can't have a press conference. How about 17 hours? What was it? Close to 2 hours? Now, some were saying it's the longest presidential press conference ever. Do we know that? Is that big? I have a tough time believing that, Carter. That we haven't had somebody else just go for 5-6 hours.
There has to have been at some point, but.
Wasn't one of the, when Trump was doing
I thought,
COVID.
I thought Trump had a very
had
long
like a three
one
or
too.
4 hour one that he did, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't believe this was the longest one. It was, I mean, I was involved in other duties and I hit the record and did the 30 minute extension and I didn't even get to the end of it. He was Biden in the sense of this. He's delusional about what happened this year, the last 6 months. He just is. First 6 months, if you're objective, things were going better. There was some competency. Significant bills were passing. COVID, due to the vaccines, let me be crystal clear. 100% is the main reason why vaccines and their help on COVID. Now, the vaccines happen under President Trump's watch. We can debate. President Trump would say this would have taken 5, 10, 15 years without him. There's no zero proof of that. It happened. Happened under his watch. That's indisputable. Biden and his team found a way to distribute those. Seemingly, you know, when they had the July 4th borderline mission accomplished event, it was, hey, we're back. Guess what? We're not back because of Afghanistan, the surge of COVID, can't get things done, mixed messaging. And he just wasn't willing to acknowledge that. Just was not willing to acknowledge that. And then he had Joe Biden moments. Joe Biden, for decades, has done many things very successfully, many things working across the aisle, but also many things where foot meets mouth. And when you're older, and again, if you have a shred of objectivity, not as sharp as he was 4 or 5 years ago, nowhere close to where he was 10, 20 years ago. It's going to happen more. That's the reason why they've hid him from press conferences. It has been a strategy to prevent him from going out there. But, I mean, the thing about the Ukraine comment, Adam, and I'll do it as Joe Biden here, he told the truth. He told the truth, right? Because if Russia has more of a minor incursion, using the president's words, versus, here we go, 100,000 troops, and we're going deep into Ukraine, there is going to be a different reaction. But you know what? You should be savvy enough as the president of the United States not to say it. And he had to walk that back today. And others within his administration had to walk that back. Then his words on whether the election will be legit or not. They're walking that baby back today. And he doesn't look at his best when that happens. And to me, again, the last 6 months have been a major disappointment. Let's also be objective about this. Donald Trump and words he would say and the cleanup happen constantly. Donald Trump and what he would say initially when he ran as a candidate, when candidate Trump would say, why are we talking so much about what we're going to do in foreign policy? I was like, I'm with you. Then he started dictating everything we do in foreign policy. And Donald Trump said how many times the 2020 election wouldn't be legit. And he continues to say the 2020 election wasn't legit. Now, if Biden's point is, I'm not Trump, and they got to keep cleaning up after him, then he loses credibility in that. What about that part, Adam, on the cleanup, the consistency, Biden, and the contrast to Trump? What stands out to you about that?
Anytime you talk for that amount of time, and I don't care how sharp you are, you're going to say things that either show your hand or maybe aren't completely in line with, I guess, the strategy you're developing. So it's not shocking to me at all that Biden, Trump, or any president who would talk over that length of period of time maybe would clarify things. And I honestly don't think that is something new or significant.
The last two presidents, Dan, they have way more differences than similarities. Discipline, keeping things close to the vest.
Yeah.
That's one that they share together. Well, think about how guarded, just let me finish.
Yep.
I'm thinking of presidents who are incredibly guarded. Obama, incredibly guarded. H.W. Bush, incredibly guarded. Clinton would say stuff. W. would say stuff. Reagan would say things. So it isn't that out of the ordinary to people who, boom, and then here we go with the cleanup.
No, and, you know, to a degree, we in the media, you know, have a role in that. And you know, we want those folks to say stuff, right, because that gives us stuff to talk about. So maybe as a citizen, do I want the president to play a little closer to the vest? Maybe. But as somebody who likes to do talk radio, yeah, I say stuff. Say stuff. Now, what he said, again, I'm sorry, but was the one that leapt out to me is when he said we've actually overachieved. When he was pressed on, did you promise too much? No, no, we've actually overachieved. And I literally did, I think, a spit take when I heard him say that, because it's just, it's beyond, I mean, you can stretch the truth to a degree, but it was, what it honestly reminded me of, you brought up the previous president, that was always his move, right? When he was criticized, he would say, no, actually, it's not only the best, it's not only good, it's the best that it's ever been in the history of time and space and magic and whatever, you know, that was his move. It wasn't, you couldn't criticize him, no, I'm actually great. And so when Biden's being pressed and he says, well, no, actually, I've overachieved, that was very Trumpian to me and worrisome because, again, when we talked about Biden coming in as president, it was a lot about competency and, you know, steadiness and truth-telling and things that didn't exist in the previous regime. And we're not seeing enough of that right now.
Adam, I think Dan makes a really good point because he also said later a couple of times, rhetorically, name another president who's accomplished more than me in the first year. If I told you that quote and said that's Donald Trump,
right?
Say it's the exact same thing. Yeah, greatest economy ever. Donald Trump said that. It's not true. Not true. Maybe Obama's learning from Trump. He's saying, you know what? This guy says the election was stolen over and over again. It wasn't, but people believe it. Maybe I got to try this idea. So keep having him out there, though. Don't vanish and say, well, every year he's going to appear for an hour and 40 minutes. So it's not anywhere near the top of the list. It just isn't. But the president of the United States, no matter if you like him or not, voted for him or not, should answer questions and be accountable to what's taking place. Worst jobs to have on a day like this. You've got one right now. You've had one before. You think of them. You wouldn't want that job. Let us know through text and phone calls. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Guardy, Ron Gardenhire, along with Cesar Tovar and Dan Gladden, inducted into the Twins Hall of Fame. Guardy's going to join us at 1:35 right here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. My middle boy is working outside today, so I worry about him greatly. This is some work that has to be done for his second major, and he is out there today. So I am thinking about him constantly and worried about him. So it strikes home for me. So we're talking awful jobs to have on a day like this. Let's look at some of the texts. You guys chime in anytime you would like. Pumping out and cleaning portable toilets on a construction site. Texter asks Adam, can't be the greatest in the summer either.
I was going to say, I bet you that's better now than when it's 95 and steamy. And it's the day after, you know, burrito day when they were bringing burritos to lunch.
It's colonoscopy day, and I'm coming out. Yeah, I really don't want that job at any point. I do not. New housing construction roofers. Cook, you want to be up there?
No. I do not want to be in any kind of elevated position on a day like today. No.
Again, that one also bad in the middle of summertime.
Yes. Morning newspaper delivery person.
Yeah, but those folks, I think, mostly just tossing them out of their cars now, right?
I was just going to say that. Just going to say that. I'm still paying for the product. I get the paper here. And gets to my house on a regular basis, very early, thanks to the folks who help out. But, yeah, they're not going door to door, Carter. I mean, what do you think the percentage is now, Adam, of folks? I used to help out a buddy all the time with his delivery of the paper growing up. We'd go sketching. Do you guys ever go sketching? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think we called it hooky bobbing.
Yeah. Hooked on the back of the bumper. And his dad would go 30, 40 miles an hour. What are the chances you take the girls out doing that today?
What are you talking about? I do it all the time. No big deal.
How do you think they get to school?
That's how they, yes. Is it 5% of the morning papers that are delivered by somebody walking door to door?
I don't know. I don't see anybody doing that anymore.
Got to be some.
Because how many blocks, full blocks, still every house? You know, it used to be every house is getting the paper. Now,
yeah,
one a block, rare. Maybe one or two.
It's rare. Tow truck driver.
Oh yeah, anything else with when you got to handle metal and stuff and just
You've got a caller that's going to talk about that one and some others related to it if you want.
Yeah. Motorcycle escort in front of a funeral procession.
Oh, yeah.
Whew. That's a hard one. Probably doing multiple funerals, right?
You would think.
The poor guy scraping the potatoes off the highway.
Yeah.
The puns and the word phrases were a-flying, weren't they, this morning?
Yeah, we love it.
Few people not happy with the app. I'm shocked by that. Pumping septic tanks. Again, another job. Don't know when that's ever good. The school bus driver with the door open and shut all the time. Worst job on a day like this, handling a car crash involving an inebriated county sheriff. Garbage man. The garbage man. Garbage woman.
Again,
getting out. A lot of people staying inside, though, right?
Yeah, that job is advanced, too, where they got the claw now, the big claw that picks up
the claw.
Yeah.
Where does Baron Von Raschke rank among your all-time favorite wrestlers, Adam?
Oh.
And with the finishing move, the claw.
Way up there, and I got to interview him one time here on these very radio airwaves, which was fantastic.
When he was working at the zoo?
I don't know what he was doing then. He was on with Dark, and Dark let me ask him a couple questions. And
didn't blow you off a la Lou Ferrigno?
No. The Baron was tremendous. And again,
I'm
one of those we've talked multiple times of whether or not you could get away with that character nowadays.
No, let me.
Yeah,
well,
the answer's no.
Actually, yeah. With the Oath Keepers, I think you could.
Yes, right.
Well, there's that, yeah.
Goose-stepping like a Nazi. And I don't know, two-thirds of the time, was Baron a good guy? I mean, we came to embrace the goose-stepping Nazi. Oh, my God.
Those southern German communities in Minnesota, they didn't know which way they were cheering.
Airline refueler.
Yeah, those ground
crew, yeah.
Crews at airports. That's tough, man.
That's tough.
I saw a couple of guys
Bikini.
Today.
Go ahead.
It's a couple of guys today downtown Minneapolis working, I don't know if it was a stoplight or, you know, something along the Fifth Street corridor for the light rail. And it's, you know, they're pulling wiring up and doing a bunch of, you know, the problem is you can bundle up against a lot of these things, but when you're trying to handle wiring or something like that, you can't have super thick gloves or mittens on. And I was tempted to roll down the window and holler, I don't know what they're paying you, but it's not enough to be outside on a day like this.
Adam would have rolled the window down and said, hey, my heat's a little too warm. Bikini model.
Yeah. Outdoor pole dancer. How about that one? Still popular.
The pita sexy lettuce ladies, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It was brutal that day.
Truly brutally cold that day. Truth. We're not going to put the picture up there, but no. I love when you put the picture up there and people get all outraged.
Oh, very mad. Very mad when we
calm down. Flag people on road construction jobs. Yeah. The gas station attendant. How many places have the gas? Last time, Adam Carter, you had somebody pump the gas for you. Not just like you made Siggy go out and do it, but like you went somewhere. Full service.
I can't even remember the last. I don't think I've ever done it,
no,
being a driver.
Neither. There used to be a place where Lottie Dye golfed, where it was full service. Never went there. One day, I was literally running out of gas. And that's the only time I did it. Decades. Dairy farmer. reporter for a Virginia television station. Yes. The window cleanup folks on skyscrapers. Get a job. I have no problem, you know, high up as long as I'm enclosed in something, Carter. But, man, I would not be good cleaning windows.
No. Or how about, you know, having to climb those radio towers to change a light bulb or something?
Oh,
zero chance. I mean, I watched that video one time and I had an anxiety attack watching the video.
Oh, yeah. Professional panhandler. Lifeguard. Tough, yeah. Tough.
That'd be a tough one today, for sure. Yeah.
John, you got lifeguard duty today. Go up by the pool.
Okay. And then the last one will be serious. Homeless. I mean, I don't know. Homeless. I don't know how you survive. I just have no idea. And I know cities and states have done a much, much better job over the years. But still out there on days like this, it's just scary as can be. Excellent, excellent suggestions. He is now a Twins Hall of Famer, along with Cesar Tovar and Dan Gladden this year. Our guy, Ron Gardenhire, is moments away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Twins Hall of Fame gets three well-deserved participants now in. Cesar Tovar, his versatility for so long for the Twins in the 60s. Dan Gladden, such a prime member of the World Championship teams, and obviously great broadcaster right here on WCCO, and this man, Ron Gardenhire. Gardy, where do I start with Gardy? Second most wins in Twins history. By the way, only 72 behind TK. They won six divisional titles with Ron Gardenhire as manager. Manager of the year and five times runner-up. Gardy is with us. Always a pleasure, sir. Congratulations. Great news. Tell me how you found out.
Got a phone call from Dustin Morris. And he talked to me about, so said, I got to talk to you about some things. Want to talk to you, the Twins people, David, up there in the office. And we decided, or they decided, that they were going to let me know and then eventually put this thing out that I was going to be put into the Hall of Fame, which was kind of cool.
Pretty cool. What was your reaction when you found out the details?
Well, it was like, you know, then, you know, find out, you know, Mr. Tovar's coming in, and Dan Glad, of course, really entertains me because, you know, I was opportunity to stand at third base with him during that 91 World Series at the end. So we have a pretty good relationship, and I've always enjoyed him. So it's really cool going in with two really special people. And, you know, it's just kind of surreal right now, just talking to a lot of different people, getting a lot of texts.
Any particular text or two that has stood out the most since the news came out, or people within the organization or baseball found out about this?
You know, not a lot. I mean, you know, all of course your friends and everything. Some of my coaches have already texted me and called me and little things like that. But mostly it's just, you know, the everyday people that I'm around, Walleye, Bird, guys like that when I'm in Minnesota. And you know what? The big shout out goes to my daughter-in-law's family, the Shapers. They jumped on the radio when they heard this announcement, and they're listening to you guys, and they're fired up. So it's pretty cool.
Fantastic. Why do you think this organization, Gardy, was such a good fit for you? You know, you finished your career with the Twins, and then they hired you to be a part of their minor league system, starting off by managing in the minors. And obviously it was such a long run for decade after decade after decade. Why did it mesh as well as it did?
Well, you know, I learned, you know, from some pretty special people when I got hired. I played my last year in the Twins organization in Portland, Oregon. Charlie Manuel was the manager, and I had so much fun with that. And then right away, they kept telling me, Charlie kept saying, you need to go into managing and coaching. And I guess that was telling me I really stink at baseball now. So that's kind of the way my career ended. And I went right to instructional league, basically. And I started learning, I mean, from people that were down there on what it was all about. So it was pretty cool. And, you know, it was a good experience managing. I always thought about it, but, you know, I managed for 3 or 4 years, and you were there 1 year, and
yep,
it was just fun.
Yes,
I like running the game, and I like watching these players develop.
Yeah, I was with Gardy in the summer of 1989 in Orlando, and it was very cool. Never warmed up. The story I've told before is we did all but, I'm trying to remember, maybe about 20 of the games on the radio.
Right.
And so I did not have the assigned seat on a bus. So they would rotate me. Big fella would tell me who I was sitting with. And so we're in Memphis. Nice quick bus ride from Orlando to Memphis coming up. Okay. And
yeah.
Big fella tells me, you're with the big man this trip. I go, are you kidding me? Yes, you're with Gardy. You're with Gardy. I go, Gardy's going to let the manager's going to sit in the front. Yeah. Okay. So, playing in Memphis, and I know this will shock you, but you got ejected from the game. You were steaming hot, steaming hot. And the various guys on the team, Delkis and Sorrento and others, are just giving it to me because they know I have to sit with you. And they're like, you're not even going to get on the bus. I go, you better find a way to rent a car and get back. And you just look at me and go, get on the bleeping bus. Like, you were really mad. And then we sat down, you opened up a beer for me, opened up for you and said, let's have some fun. And then we sat there for 14 hours bussing back. And it was a great experience.
Yeah, that was good times. And people, you know, don't get to hear those stories anymore. It's changed a little bit, but those long bus rides like that, a lot of stuff got worked out, which was really cool.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of things on those bus rides we can't talk about, even decades and decades later. When people talk about the Twins way and the Twins style of baseball compared to other organizations, to you as someone who was immersed in it, managed against these teams, played against these teams, what stood out the most about the Twins way?
Well, I think, it, you know, I've learned from the best, Tom Kelly. He took care of me, and, you know, it was hard love at first when I got to the big leagues and, you know, came coaching up there. It started when I was in instructional leagues, you know, managing in the minor leagues and instructional league, and TK came down, and he wanted me to coach third, and this is after they'd let go their third base coach, and he's grabbing me by my pants and pulling me, telling me where to stand at third base, and it was just kind of like, holy cow. And then, you know, finally he told me, you know, he wanted me to be his third base coach, and it was kind of holy cow again. And then, you know what, you cannot learn from a better baseball guy. And like I said, there's a lot of tough love. You know, he'd get me every once in a while, but let me tell you what, he did it for a reason. Everything he did was for a reason. And he taught me the game. He really taught me the game about what to watch for and what to look at. And, you know, a good manager doesn't just follow the ball when it's hit. You start looking around to where the other players are going, if they're doing the right things. And those are the things you started looking at as a manager and even as a coach. And it was pretty cool. And so I owe a ton of it, ton of everything that's happened to me to Tom Kelly, because he taught me how the game was supposed to be played, and that's the way we played it. I think everybody saw that, you know, little ball, small ball, whatever you want to call it, but it was playing to win, whether it be one run or two. It's playing to win the game, and that's what we did at Minnesota Twins, and it was taught all the way through the system.
Ron Gardenhire is with us, along with Cesar Tovar and Dan Gladden, all three announced entering the Twins Hall of Fame. The aughts were a great decade for you, Gardy. I mean, this team kept winning. Six divisional titles. When you think of that core, and also a group that would change. I mean, if you're together that long, it's not going to be the same group. What are the memories that jump to mind most?
You know what? I guess you look back at it, and you're so proud of the teams that we had, the players that we had. What they represented, they understood the Twins way, they understood what we were trying to do and how we were supposed to act, you know, handle ourselves, and that was playing the game. That's the way the Twins fans, you know, loved it, get after it, and, you know, slide hard, do the whole, all the little things, and that's the way Twins fans expect it, and that was brought on through Tom Kelly, the way he taught the game, and I just said that's the way I like it. I love the way to play like that, and I think we did that very well for a long time. The disappointing part was we never got over the hump. We came close my first year. I ended up losing in whatever, game five or whatever it was in California. Had a chance to go to the World Series. And then after that, we just never really played our best baseball in the playoffs.
You went that far, lose to the Angels. Is there one year that stands out the most? I think to a lot of us from observing, it's that 06 team. When Liriano was going, when Johan's going, Morneau, Maurer, Torrey, that group. Is 06 maybe your best team, or is it hard to separate?
It's hard to separate, but that team was really, really good. And unfortunately, again, in the playoffs, we just didn't do well. I think, who was it, against Oakland? And I'm pretty sure it was Oakland, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oakland's and right. We end up facing their big three pitchers that we just didn't hit. You know, Mulder, Zito, and that other little guy. And we didn't get any hits. And that was really unfortunate, because we were hot when we went in. They were hot when they went in. And you just looked like we had a really good opportunity there. And unfortunately, their pitching, you know, beat ours. And it wasn't like they killed our pitchers. We just didn't score.
I know you must have thought about this so many times, why the team was as successful, and then you take this very small sample size and come up short, and every year is different. But was there any link to that? Was there anything that you look back and said, well, this is why it happened? Or was every year a little bit different in its own way?
Yeah, it was different. I mean, most of the time we had a few different players and everything, and yeah, they were all different. I mean, going into it, sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're not clicking, and I think that was the first year, which was disappointing, because we played a really good series, and we felt like we should have won that one, and, you know, we had them late in the game, and I think Johan, they had men on first and second and trying to bunt with that Kennedy kid, and Johan, who was one of our best pitchers out of the bullpen at the time, I think he hung a slider on an 0-2 pitch, and the guy hit a three-run homer, and that kind of knocked our socks off. But that's you know, that was a year that I thought, boy, we had a baseball team. But it didn't stop, because it went more and more after that. We had plenty of chances.
When you think about your times managing, okay, give me one or two things that you miss most about managing. It was a long run. I know you're having a lot of fun with your life. But the part, just the fun that stands out that you still miss today.
Oh, yeah, you know, the clubhouse, inside the clubhouse, and, you know, getting with the coaching staff and walking through, talking to players, and then BP standing out there chatting with players. And those are the things that, you know, you miss. You miss your coaching staff, and you miss just hanging out in the clubhouse with players and listening to their stories because, as you know, there's a lot of great stories out there and a lot of fun. And guys, you know, when it came, the bell came, they played. You know, and I was really proud of that fact that they really played the game, and I think our fans really loved that. It was just unfortunate we couldn't ever take that last step.
How much time did you get up here last year working with the Twins and also seeing Toby manage in St. Paul?
You know, I took my RV. I flew to see my grandbabies in Oklahoma and got in the RV, and we went to see them in Omaha, parked at RV parking lots, and then had a car and drove over to the games, and then came up to, of course, the Twin Cities and stayed with my daughter over in St. Paul or Oakdale. And we went to probably, I'm guessing, maybe four or five games there. I think he got thrown out of probably, if I saw seven games, he got thrown out of four of them. I said, that ain't good.
Was any one of them kind of hat tip to you knowing you were there?
Oh, he knew I was there. But you know what? The one thing that he's so different than me is he's a calm kid. Every once in a while, he just started pointing. And when you start pointing, talking to an umpire, that's not a good thing. That can get you thrown out more than what you say. So he started pointing, and I'm looking at him going, oh, here we go. He's pointing. That ain't good. So you know what? He does the same thing. And one thing I told him, you keep your players in the game. And if you have to get in the way, if an umpire is getting after a player, you have to get in the way. You keep your players in the game. They're the ones going to win the game.
Well, I mean this. As a 23-year-old who was trying to figure out what the hell I was doing down in Orlando, Florida, and broadcasting these games on a station that's normally playing heavy metal, you could not have been any nicer, kinder, more professional to me. And I think everybody in the media here in this town knows how well you handled it. You resonated so much with this town, still do. So personally and professionally, congratulations on this, Guardian. And I hope you thoroughly enjoy it. And look forward to the weekend when you're honored and talking to you once again then.
Chadley, I really appreciate it. It means a lot. And like I said, I love the Twin Cities, and I love that baseball team. And I'm so proud just to be a part of it. So it's going to be a really good time when it comes along this summer.
Thanks, Guardy. It was great.
You
appreciate
it. All right, Chadley. Thanks, man.
He is just one of the best. Ron Gardenhire, kind enough to join us here on WCCO. So next hour, Joe Freeburg is with us. We talked at about the same time yesterday with Rochelle Olson on the media side of this trial, the three officers, Tao, Lane, and King. The federal trial involving the murder of George Floyd, of course, Derek Chauvin reaching an agreement before. I am going to ask Joe if we may possibly see Derek Chauvin himself testify in this trial. That would be rather intriguing, Mr. Cook, don't you think? If all of a sudden Derek Chauvin is on the stand and facing questions?
That would be very intriguing. That would be, especially given the fact that, you know, what we talked about with Rochelle yesterday, that you're not going to have media access. So you're going to have, you know, people relying on notes, but I mean, you'd be hanging on every word.
If Derek Chauvin was testifying and it was available, it would go back on CNN and Fox News and all of them,
100%.
Right?
100% it would. And it would be, we'd carry it for sure, right?
Oh, not a doubt. We are at a point, and we were decades ago, where these trials should be available to the public so they can consume. And I am left shaking my head at times how the three of us could watch something and see something different. I mean, we just crushed Joe Biden and the press conference and his last 6-7 months and a texter right away. How can you praise Joe Biden? Like, again, not listening. So it doesn't mean it's guaranteed, Dan, that if everybody in the public has access to trials, that we'll all reach the same conclusion, but as opposed to a more limited number of media to let people consume our court system at the local, state, federal level. Supreme Court allows the audio recordings after. They should be allowing it right away. It's silly to not do it. So on the merits of the case, Mr. Freeberg is with us. And then Chris Finch. I don't know if you've ever had a show here at CCO. We've had two individuals who ran or run teams. But Chris Finch, head coach of the Wolves, is on this show in about 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.